In his speech at my wedding, my dad asked a question. Looking around the church hall at the 150 or so gathered friends and family members who had just witnessed our wedding vows, Dad asked who amongst those who were gathered had also been present and witnessed mine or Matthew's baptisms. About 20 people raised their hands. Parents, aunts, uncles, older cousins, and godparents. But like many Anglicans who've been baptized, I don't remember my baptism. I was 3 months old when it happened, but I've heard stories about it, and there was even a write-up in the diocesan newspaper about the six of us who were baptized that August morning at St. Thomas's Church. But my dad's recollection of it at our wedding, and all of those raised hands, was a reminder of the community that was around me then and remains around me now. A reminder that while it was the baptism of an individual, it was also about the community. Which brings us to our readings this morning. In this first story that the gospel writer of Luke tells us about the adult Jesus, Jesus has traveled a bit of a way south from his home in Galilee, south to the Jordan River. The Jordan River is one of those places that immediately evokes memories for the people to whom Luke would have been writing. Maybe you have a place or places like that. Someone mentions the lake. And it doesn't matter that there are literally hundreds of lakes around here. You know exactly which one they're talking about. And you immediately start to think about learning to swim when you were at the cottage one summer. And then your mind will go back to the stories that you've heard of your grandfather fishing that lake. Memories and stories, decades, even centuries of connection and relationship. Well, not only is the Jordan River the river that flows through the land where Jesus lives, but it's a river that's been a part of the stories of his people for centuries. The river that is the site of miracles, like a man healed from leprosy after bathing in its waters, or an axe that floats. And it's the river that was crossed by his ancestors as they came into the promised land and out of the wilderness. And here's Jesus, going down to this river to be baptized by his cousin, John. And when he arrives there, there is a crowd. John has drawn quite a lot of curious people out to the Jordan River to see what's going on there. And John is talking up a storm. Not only is he baptizing those who come to him, but he's taking very seriously his call to prepare the way of the Lord. And we read that part of the story during Advent. You may remember it when we heard John calling the crowd a brood of vipers and telling them to live into their identity as beloved children of God. John is crying to prepare the way of the Lord, and the people are captivated. So captivated that Luke reports that they were filled with expectation and questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. The Messiah, that's exciting stuff. But no, says John, I am not he. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But nevertheless, John is there at the river, preaching and baptizing, and people are coming in droves to hear him and be baptized by him in the river. Now, Luke doesn't actually record Jesus being baptized. There's nothing in the narrative that singles Jesus out from any of the other people that were there. Luke mentions it as almost a footnote. Jesus is just one of the many people there that day at the river being baptized. All he says is, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying," it says as if Jesus is just another guy in the crowd being baptized, and then after his baptism, he's sitting there praying. And while Jesus is praying, it happens. In front of all those people, that whole big crowd who've gathered with John at the Jordan, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." You are my son, the beloved. In my mind's eye, the voice and the dove are like a giant pointer finger from God, pointing out Jesus, claiming Jesus. Much like the words from our first reading from the prophet Isaiah this morning. "But now thus says the Lord, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Much like the words of our baptismal liturgy. The candidate has water poured over them, and they are named. Named by their parents, named by their godparents, named by God. And that name is spoken aloud for all to hear. And then, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and I sign you with the cross and mark you as Christ's own forever." "You are mine," says God. "You are mine, my beloved." This is an essential theme in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus seeing, noticing, and calling everyone, not just the rich and the powerful or those who are in leadership, but everyone. We saw it over and over throughout Advent when we read Luke's stories of everyone, not just the rich, not the powerful, not even the newsmakers, but people like Hannah, like Mary, like Elizabeth. And we read it again today. The baptism of Jesus reminds us that in baptism, God is claiming us. God is claiming you. And like the story of Jesus's baptism, it's something that both happens for you and for the whole community gathered. Because life and ministry is both individual and communal. Jesus' ministry is launched at his baptism. He's publicly acknowledged as God's son, and then he goes first into the wilderness and then to pull together a group of people to journey in ministry with him, individual and communal. In a few moments, we are going to walk through together the liturgy for the renewal of baptismal vows. For some of us, these may be familiar words that we've spoken many times. For some of us, they're less familiar words. Maybe they're words that others spoke on our behalf, and we're only just learning how we might live into them. For some of us, we're struggling to connect them to our lives, and all of that is okay. In saying these words, whether baptized or not, whether we remember our baptisms or not, we individually and communally commit together to this ministry that Jesus launched. A ministry that promises to continue in community, in fellowship, in prayer, in breaking bread together. A ministry that proclaims the good news of God in Christ, that seeks and serves Christ in all persons. that strives to safeguard the integrity of God's creation, respects, sustains, and renews the life of the earth, and that strives for justice and peace among all people, and respects the dignity of every human being. And it recognizes that we cannot do it on our own. Not only do we need God's help, but we need each other. We need each other to walk with, to hold us accountable, to encourage us along the way. And it places us all, individuals and as a community, as an integral part of a bigger story. A story that holds us and sustains us, that connects us across time and place, not only to believers everywhere, but to Jesus, to the one who felt and lived our full humanity, and who calls us, like he called his disciples, to come and follow. And as we journey that calling together, remember the words spoken by God at that baptism. You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Amen.